This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
We're live. Let's start the show. So,
it's way to do it.
We need to do it. I can't even say I'm your captain. I am your, not even a ringmaster. I'm just your mess today. It's me, Maria Johnson, and our pal, Father Corey Stika. And that's it. That's what you get today, guys. Yeah.
Good morning. You got your priest and you got Maria. You got your teacher.
That's it. A teacher or a priest. So
sounds like the start
all of our
of a
regulars
show.
Are out this week doing, I guess, their various jobs. And it's just you and me, Father. I guess we don't have any kind of measurable jobs.
Yeah, we don't. You know, I only work on weekends, so I'm still okay. And, you know, so, I I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to do anything. I'm not moving like Sarah or Steve's off traveling, doing all his fun stuff, I'm sure, for his job, which I know he seems to really enjoy, but it keeps him busy, that's for sure.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I am apparently the stewardess, according to Dan, so thanks a lot for that. I believe it's flight attendant, sir.
Yes. So do we get peanuts on this flight, or has that been nixed too?
I'm about to open a bottle of bourbon right now. I don't know about you.
That sounds good.
So what have you been up to this week?
Well, we had our priest assembly. So every... twice a year we have priest assemblies, and then we have a priest retreat. So we have three times a year we get together. And this one, our winter assembly, we talked about the permanent diaconate. For, you know, kind of a little bit of history, there's always been a diaconate in the Catholic Church. There has always been. But for a lot of years, the idea of someone remaining as a deacon kind of went to the wayside. It was forgotten. It became a step to the priesthood. Every priest was first ordained a deacon. Now, for some of them, they had the one-day deacons, where they literally had their diaconate ordination, and the next day was their priesthood ordination.
Really?
But, yeah, it was seen as a step you had to go through, just as, you know, some of the other minor orders that we don't really hear of anymore, the subdeacon and acolyte and all those other orders, minor orders. They just went through the step of it, and that was it. Well, now it's much more focused. You know, for example, I was a deacon or my diaconate was 9 months before the priesthood. I want to rephrase that. Priests are still deacons. We still share in that diaconal ministry. We are still called to serve as deacons serve. But now we have permanent deacons in many places. I'm sure like Atlanta there, you have tons and tons of permanent deacons down there serving in parishes, serving in hospitals, nursing homes, jails, things like that.
Yeah, in fact, at my parish, we were very fortunate to have 5 active deacons.
That's awesome. That's really awesome.
One of them just retired, so we're down to 4, but
that's fantastic. Pretty and they do a lot of great work. They really do. It's something I think the church is still trying to figure out, and that's part of the reason why we had this class, was because our diocese didn't have permanent deacons until a few years ago. We had a couple that were ordained to the diaconate back in the 70s when it was first really getting started throughout the United States, and then it was put on hold for a very long time, like 20 years. We had a bishop come in who really didn't want to deal with the diaconate. He didn't want deacons. He wanted to focus more on lay ministry. So, well, now we have deacons again, and now we're trying to figure out, as a diocese, how does that work for us? We just had this past summer, we ordained a batch of 8 of them, I think.
Wow.
So that was really nice from throughout the diocese. It was very interesting. We had a deacon from New Mexico come up He's from Albuquerque, and he, of course, you know, that's a change of weather. He was joking how, you know, they had a real nasty blizzard down there. They had a whole inch of snow. And then he comes up to Billings, and an inch of snow, it's like, we brushed it off our car, and we don't worry about it. Yeah, that's nothing. Ah, that's literally, it's a dusting. That's what we will call it. Don't worry about it. But it was nice. It was a good conference. There was a lot of good information about the diaconate, about what deacons can do in a parish, in a community. And it's something I know I would love to have. I'm trying to push a couple of our gentlemen here in my diocese, in my parish, to consider it, because I would love to have a deacon that I can say, you know, why don't you make it your regular ministry to go to the nursing home and visit? That's something I'm not the best at. I don't always get over there like I should. Or, you know, we know so-and-so's in the hospital. I did anointing, but, you know, why don't you go visit them once in a while? Or, you know, or I'm going to be gone this weekend, so why don't you do the Sunday celebration in absence of a priest?
The formation takes more than a minute. So that's years of study. I know that ours, our deacons each, your plan is probably the same that our deacons had done, is that they've taken over certain ministries, mm-hmm. if you will, or I know that one of the guys, a friend of ours, did a lot of marriage prep.
Yep.
He really took care of a lot of the marriage prep, and then another one of the gentlemen was doing the baptisms with the families.
Exactly. They can do things like that. They can do weddings. They can do funerals, marriage prep, you know, all that kind of stuff. They can do they call advocate for the tribunal for people who are being, are seeking annulments. They can do a lot of that kind of stuff. I mean, lay people can do much of this. Of course, baptisms, weddings, only in extreme circumstances can lay people do those. But deacons can do those. And admittedly, I'm in a parish where we don't have a lot of either, and I rather enjoy doing the baptisms. So, do them as part of Mass. But to have a deacon that can help out with things, again, can do things when I'm gone, can be kind of a helper, would be really nice to have. So I'm kind of hoping to encourage a couple of men to do that. And it's tough because I'm sure Atlanta does it like most dioceses, where their full-time job is not deacon.
Yeah. Well, a lot of these guys, I think, are in at the ends of their mm-hmm. working careers, and they're picking up in retirement, things like that.
We have that as well, where they're drawing a retirement, and they can dedicate the time to every day going to the jail, every day going to the mm-hmm. nursing home, every day going to some other location, you know, and serve as a deacon. And that's a wonderful thing, and that's something that we're trying to encourage. So, yeah, it was a good conference. Of course, it's always fun. We can go and visit with our brother priests, which is always fun. Get together and go get some good meals and shoot the breeze and catch up with what's going on in other parishes and solve the world's problems and all that kind of good stuff, you know?
That's awesome. That's super awesome. Well, we have Stephanie Zimmer, who's joined us, and Father Darrell, who's joined us. So we're just catching up on what our weeks are looking like. So I just finished off starting the first week of the semester, and that's always a lot of fun because, I don't know, it's kind of like, you know, you get to sharpen your pencils and smell the plastic of the new notebooks and get off to a new clean start. So that's really just what I've been up to. And I just give a book update. I turned in the book, and we're just kind of waiting on this next process.
Oh, there you go. Father Darrell gave you a golf clap.
Yeah. So how are you guys doing? Welcome. Stephanie, what's up with you? Oh, turn on your sound, girl.
Yep. It's...
How about we go to Father Darrell? He's over there smiling and laughing. What happened? Did you win the lottery this week or something?
No, I had a day off yesterday, which was kind of nice.
Day off? What's that?
Busy last few weeks, so managed to score a day off yesterday. So I was quite enjoying that. Not doing much of anything actually. So, but yeah, it's been a busy week, busy few weeks. It's cold, but it's getting warmer. What? It even got close to zero Celsius this week. Oh, wow. So.
Yeah, okay, so that's delusional. In January, it's still January. It's not getting warmer.
Hey, we got above freezing. We actually went out in light jackets.
This kind of thing. Whether we should call a warm spell in January like winterruption or wintermission or something like that.
I kind of like winterruption.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am so upset that my flowers started to come up out of the dirt.
Oh, fun!
I planted some bulbs. No, it's not fun.
No, I mean that's seriously fun.
Come out yet. But we had a severe winter eruption, so I don't know what the heck is up with that. So looks like Stephanie's still having a little trouble with.
She says she's not loaded yet. So.
Oh, okay, so she'll jump in when you're ready. So I am heading this silliness today, and I got nothing, man. I got nothing. What's going on in the world?
Thanks for joining. It's been a great show.
Yeah, exactly.
Beautiful activity here, trying to get this loaded, and now I just want to quit.
Well, you've been following any of Pope Francis over in Asia?
You know, I have seen two delightful pictures. One was of the little boys dressed as the Swiss Guard.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
They were so precious. And so I'm like, oh, aren't they adorable? And then they showed them sitting on the steps, sleeping on top of each other. They were all just kind of crumpled down from exhaustion. So that was sweet.
Yeah. No, I was watching some of his mass in Sri Lanka, and that was just incredible. You know, it looked like this park. I think it's just like this major park alongside the sea there. You know, of course, you got the beautiful beach and everything, and then just crowds. Was it something like 500,000 people or something like that? Just this insane number of people. And after communion, you know, they had these priests with these umbrellas, you know, people holding umbrellas over the priest bringing back communion. And it was line after, you know, person, after, you know, just lines. It looked like a traffic jam, just, you know, many, many, many priests taking communion to all these people. And it was just incredible to see. Pope Francis has been having to exercise his English, which he's not so strong at. But he's pretty understandable if you can understand a Hispanic, you know, a Spanish accent.
He doesn't have an accent. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, his accent is different from mine. But so I think that's always an amazing thing to see is how, I don't think negotiate is the right word to use, but how to arrange the distribution of communion en masse like that and such a huge
it is incredible. I can't imagine the logistics that go behind it, but you know, usually what they do, and admittedly there's some theological argument whether or not it's a valid way to do it, is every priest that's celebrating is celebrating with his paten, so with his the host that he's the ciborium that he's carrying. I mean, if as we understand concelebration, it is a valid way of looking at it, but there are some people who kind of grumble about that. But it also solves the issue of having all these priests having to come forward, receive the ciboriums, then go and distribute, and then come back.
You know, not to mention having 1,000 ciboriums on some altar someplace.
Oh, boy. You may as well just set up a second stage to do that,
Gosh.
I mean, it's be insane. So it works, though. I mean, it works relatively quickly, as I recall. Again, just watching it on EWTN, I think communion took 10 minutes.
Yeah. It's really amazing. I mean, I've seen when we have the Eucharistic Congress here in Atlanta, we've had up to 40,000 people. I don't know that's how many are at the Mass, but I can tell you what, the entire convention center is filled with people at that Mass.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
When they have communion, it's like boom. It's like it didn't take any longer than it would in my parish.
No.
Like, how did this happen?
A whole bunch of priests and deacons and seminarians usually.
It is an incredible situation. But they do have some pretty amazing logistics. I mean, I was paying attention the last time because I just thought I got to see how they do this.
Yep.
and they've got stations set up, and it's the priest that's going to go and distribute communion, but there are ushers that are assigned specifically to that area. So yep. there's somebody that's taking the priest to his position, and then there's probably two people involved in one mm-hmm. watching and the other one moving yep. the folks. So it's I guess it's so used to that.
Father Darrell, have you had the opportunity to be involved in any big masses like that?
Sort of. I mean, now I'm actually our diocesan MC for our ordinations and that kind of stuff. But I mean, you know, our big masses are probably nothing compared to a big mass in Atlanta, for example.
Hey, there's 500 people here. This is a big deal.
Right? A country.
1,200. We did have a Eucharistic Congress in my diocese back in 2007, and we booked the local large hockey rink for it. And I think we had 6,000 or 7,000 people, and that was quite a logistical feat for us. I wasn't really involved at the time, but I was living with the priest who was emceeing that event, so I got to see it all from kind of that perspective without actually having to do any of the work. It was kind of nice.
Without having to do the work.
That's the best part, right?
And that's come back to bite you a little bit, hasn't it?
Well, that's just it, yeah. He's not watching.
But then it went in my parish.
No.
Like, how did this happen?
A whole bunch of priests and deacons and seminarians, usually.
Like, we can hear ourselves playing back there, Stephanie.
Stephanie, turn off your...
And that's probably about 2 minutes behind there. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So...
I don't have a train wreck sound effect, though, unfortunately.
Oh, man. Well, I thought you'd have one.
I all of those things, but I should.
There you go.
I got to email Captain Jeff and get that other one, maybe. Yeah. Because that would apply for the sports fathers, believe me.
Oh, we have a few of those.
a few of the train wrecks there. There are no sports going on now. Is there anything happening? I guess hockey.
NFL.
I don't know. I heard that there's that thing that some people have heard of called the Super Bowl or something.
Yeah.
It's a little event.
Is that happening soon?
Well, you know, Father Darrell has a very highly scientific, technical, I mean, it's just amazing the proceedings that he goes through to pick a team, to have his dog pick a team.
Oh yeah, because it's the dog that picks the team.
Yeah, the dog picks teams, and what he does is he takes two little pieces of paper with the names of the there's Chloe,
there's Chloe right there,
and
look at my hand.
Puts down two pieces of paper with the names of the two teams and put dog treats next to them, and whichever one the dog goes for is going to be the winner.
That's just a shame.
She picked both of the ones on the right side though, so I don't know if she's a right pod dog or what.
And that may be it. So there's a bias there. That's like the wasn't there a squid or an octopus or something that was picking the World Cup winners?
Yep.
Yeah, she was the only one on the panel who picked Green Bay to win, so.
Oh. My dog wants to be on camera. We can't be having just one dog on the show.
Oh, where's your dog? Go.
Come on, baby.
Not coming.
We might have a... If Chloe sees this, this might be a problem.
Oh, it's a cat.
Start barking.
She left the room.
Oh. Otis wants to befriend deer, which is a big problem for us. Deer in our yard.
Oh, there we can see her.
There she is. Oh, there we go.
Oh, fun stuff. So how have you been, Stephanie?
I've been pretty good. Some major stuff's going on with my mom, and it's been kind of stressful with her health. If I can use the prayers I can get.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm not interested in talking sports with these priests. So tell us about what supersedes priest at the moment is guy. So let's go. What's going on with TV in the world of television?
Well, it's the beginning of the mid-season, so there's a couple shows that have started. More shows are returning. Yeah. That's what's going on.
That's what's going on. What I was just telling Father Corey at the beginning that I really got hooked onto Agent Carter. I didn't think I would. I thought it was going to be cheesy and terrible. And it is, in fact, cheesy and terrible, but in a good way.
Okay. I've seen the first two episodes. I haven't seen this week's yet, but it was pretty good.
Yeah, I saw this week's last night or the night before, and I was like, oh, and that was the night before, and I was like, oh, yeah, I could get into this. I think that she, well, it's just nice to see a woman that looks like a woman on TV without being too much over the top with that characterization. So, yeah. What else is going on? Are you, okay, well.
Cricket. <It's>... So Stephanie, I know you do your podcast. Didn't you have a big anniversary podcast recently?
I did. I recorded 200 last Sunday.
Congratulations.
I had a big live show. I had a whole bunch of guests that were on it. It was really fun.
That's good.
And are you putting about one out a week or something like that? Or how often are you producing those shows? Because you've been podcasting for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, very good.
It was 4 years in September.
4 years in September. That's pretty awesome. That's amazing. It's so cool to watch all the shows that popped up in the last few years, just from chatting with people in chat rooms and stuff and watching the ideas go, oh, I can do this, and running with that. So that's pretty awesome.
Mo was kind of born at the SCNMC in 2010. I went there with the idea of figuring out how to do this.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Well, we're going to have the CNMC in Atlanta this year.
Hey.
June 7th, right after the Eucharistic Congress.
Yep.
Yeah. So come down for the Eucharistic Congress and stay for the CNMC.
It should be a lot of fun. Should be, and this, you know, speaking of anniversary, it will be the 10th anniversary of SQPN. So it's going to be a big blowout. We're going to have a lot of fun.
Absolutely. One of the things that we're planning to do is we're really making this a big homecoming, and so I'm putting this out there for you guys to listen and participate. Send me at CatholicWeekend@SQPN.com pictures from past CNMCs, and we're going to see if we can't have some kind of a running slideshow of,
oh, cool,
of what's gone on over the years. And the goofier the picture, the better, of course. I mean, I've got a couple of really incriminating behind the scenes pictures that that I know that you'll like to see. With Jeff not here, I'm tempted to put one up, but no, I won't do it.
No, save it.
I'll save it for the event. Yeah, so I'm excited to do that. So if you guys, you know, whatever you have from any one of the years, let's see, we did Atlanta in, was it 2008? 2009? Mm-hmm. 2000, then we did San Antonio. And then we went to Boston, and mm-hmm. then we went to Kansas City. And then after Kansas City, we went
Boston again.
We went back to Boston, but that year there was also Melbourne.
Well, that's right, yeah. Right?
Yes.
Remember, we licensed it out for a year to Melbourne. So we had two. We had an international and one in the U.S., and then now, back to Atlanta. So
it's fun.
Yeah, it's going to be cool.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
What hilarious pictures do we have? You know, there was one that in San Antonio, it was funny. Sister Ann Flanagan was freezing. It was so cold. And she was just standing next to me complaining about how cold it was. And I pulled a serape off of one of the tables. And I said, here, they were using it as a decoration. So I'm looking for that particular picture. If anybody has a picture of Sister Anne wrapped up in a tablecloth.
That's funny.
It wasn't really a tablecloth. It was a decorative serape laid over as a decoration. So she wasn't really in a tablecloth. But we'll call it that. too hilarious. Yeah. All right. So did you guys read any of the reports on what the Pope said about the family?
Oh, what a beautiful speech he gave.
Yeah. Tell us about it if you can. If not, I have an article.
He's talking about Saint Joseph, and you know, it was a different take on Saint Joseph than I had really ever considered before. It was kind of nice talking about how Saint Joseph is the dreamer and how families really need to dream together. And you know, Saint Joseph was at rest, and in rest we encounter the Lord in prayer, and we need to rest as well. It was just an incredible reflection on rest and on dreaming. Yeah, I loved watching the video probably more than reading the text, because he goes off the cuff, well, a lot.
Well, he was really speaking from the heart.
It was just a wonderful speech he gave.
Did you happen to see the picture of that statue of St. Joseph lying down?
No, I didn't.
Oh my gosh, it's so lovely. He's just asleep. He's at rest, lying down. Maybe dreaming or thinking or sleeping, or I think his eyes are closed. And it's a gorgeous statue. And I have never in my life thought of a statue being in that position. You know, like to have like on my desk, or to have, you know, somewhere in my home. Mm-hmm. He's really just at slumber. I mean, mm-hmm. I guess I've seen some sculptures of saints that go on top of, you know, their tomb or something like that. But that's the context in which I've seen it, not just to have a statue of a sleeping saint. A little quirky.
Well, it makes sense, though.
Not intentionally, because I tipped it over.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it makes sense, though, when you think of the fact that he was, you know, that's where he had the vision of the angel was mm-hmm. at sleep. So,
yeah.
But it's kind of interesting you talk about, though, thinking about it at rest, when we live in a culture that rest is the last thing you're supposed to do. You know, yeah. You're supposed to be go, busy, 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 busy. You know, it's kind of a good message to hear.
Yeah. Well, one paragraph, he says, to hear and accept God's call to make a home for Jesus, you must be able to rest in the Lord. You must make time each day for prayer. But you may say to me, Holy Father, I want to pray, but there's so much to do. As if none of us ever say that, right?
Yeah, right.
I must care for my children. I have chores in the home. I'm too tired even to sleep well. I've had that before, too. This may be true, but if we do not pray, we will not know the most important thing of all, God's will for us. And all of our activity, our busyness without prayer, we will accomplish very little. And I mean, yeesh. Yeah. That was one of those ones that was a good little poke for me mm-hmm. to hear that, so...
Well, you know what I've very recently been a little bit more intentional about. I try to pray. I mean, I have some very basic prayers that I say to start the day and end the day, but and a rosary is a part of my daily devotion. At some point during the day, even if it's falling asleep at night, I do effort to do that. But my problem is that sometimes when I sit down to pray, it's the laundry list of what I want, you know, or mm-hmm. it's the laundry list of what my intentions are. And I don't listen, you know. I need to shut up and listen.
Yeah.
And I forget that that's such an important part of prayer, too. I posted on Facebook earlier this week a funny picture that said that everybody needs to shut up. And it was really mostly for me.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of a regular theme in some of my homilies, is we need to stop and listen. You know, and like you said, we got so much busyness and noise, and you know, we've got the radio on and the TV on and the iPod and the headphones in the ears, and we're constantly go, 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 go. When do we stop and listen? We don't. Yeah.
That's the first reading for this weekend.
Ah, I think I got my homily for this weekend. No, I'm kidding.
Well, maybe not. Maybe you don't really need to be kidding about it. I was reading I don't recall where the article is, but I think it was a list of some cultural things around the world that included a concept of going into the forest. I think it's a Japanese concept of going into the forest to take a forest bath, to bathe in the forest. And I thought, okay, that's a little odd. But as I read further on the concept, it was pretty cool. It's mm-hmm. really the only place that you can go and not hear unnatural noise. I mean, mm-hmm. even yesterday I went, you know, that I do this weekly photo challenge with the Daily Post on WordPress. And I like to go and just, you know, whatever the theme is. This week's theme is serenity. And nice. Yeah, it was a really cool one. And so I got this new camera for Christmas, and I thought, well, let me go and see, you know, let me see what I can do with this. And I went to the monastery thinking, okay, that's going to be the ultimate in serenity around here anyway. So I went down there, and unfortunately...
That was Chloe.
And unfortunately, when I went down there, I realized just how noisy the monastery is with not natural noise. I mean, I went down mm-hmm. to the duck pond, so I expected to hear the geese, you know. But that's what I was seeking, I guess, was whatever the natural mm-hmm. sounds were. But I could hear the plane. It's, I think that one of the ascent pieces during the day or traffic, you know, part of the traffic pattern are the planes, so I could hear the planes overhead.
Sure.
And then I became really interested in hearing for the traffic.
Mm.
And I could hear the traffic. I could hear an ambulance or a fire truck or something off in the distance. And then I went up into the Abbey Church, and I thought, okay, it's going to be super quiet there. And I thought it was super quiet right up until the air ventilation not turned off, and then it really could be silent. But at that point, my ears were hurting mm-hmm. from all of this sound, and I thought that I was in a quiet, serene place. So it was just crazy. I mean, I guess we hear the buzz of lights and the air conditioner or the heater
mm-hmm.
All the time. Where can we go for silence?
Yeah, we get so used to the background noise of life. Yeah. And, you know, for somebody like me, like if I go to a city, I hear every bit of traffic, every bit of it, because I'm so used to not having a lot of traffic. But for somebody who lives in the city, who's used to constant cars going by and ambulances and fire trucks and all that, it's just background noise. It's nothing they notice until, like you said, you get to some place where you can't hear it anymore. And that is kind of an interesting sensation where your ears almost hurt because they're not hearing the noise they're expecting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's, yeah. But you know, I think part of it is we have to realize that silence is not so much the absence of sound as it's a silence in the heart, that we aren't purposely seeking distractions. You know, yeah, you're going to hear, like here in my house, we have our boilers, and they're constantly making noise this time of year because, of course, they're working this time of year constantly. But it's, you know, it's not getting rid of that. It's not plugging in the headphones. It's not turning on the TV. It's not doing all these things that we do to distract ourselves. But just taking that time to kind of shut that out a little bit. And you might not get totally away from noise, but can at least try to have that silence of the heart to listen.
And that can be pretty uncomfortable.
Yes, it can.
You know, I remember when I was in engineering years and years ago now, in the engineering building in Saskatoon, they have an anechoic chamber, which is a specially designed room on shock absorbers with specially designed foam and whatever, and it's a room with no echo. So wow. When you go into this room, it is silent. And wow. That is so unnerving. Unnerving. But, you know, I think sometimes we get a little frightened of silence. You know, we want to fill the void with something. And mm-hmm. It makes us a little uncomfortable. And that's actually probably a good thing. Mm-hmm. It makes us a little uncomfortable.
Well, it's like the silences, or, you know, the awkward pauses we have in conversations, you know. And like on the show here, no, we've got to fill noise. Yeah, exactly. Or just everybody's kind of, you know, And we all do that. Let's say we're at a party and we kind of hit a lull in conversation. Everybody kind of looks at each other. Okay, who's going to start talking now? Who's going to say the next thing? This is awkward. Somebody say something.
Well, over in the chat, John mentions that monasteries are workplaces too. And yeah. Yet if you need snow overnight, even a city will be quiet. And then Mike says, wait for a power failure. Yeah, we've had a few of those too.
Oh, yeah, my gosh. Exactly. Yeah, that's true.
That's a really awkward silence.
The one of the powers.
With God too. We do that with God too. You know, we want to fill the silence of our hearts with noise, with, oh God, I need this and I need that and I need to pray for this person. I need to do this. I need to do that, you know. And we don't just say, okay, God, I'm going to shut up now. Like you said, I'm just going to shut up now.
And then maybe not hear anything, but you know, the best intimate relationships are the ones that you can sit in silence and it's not awkward.
Yep. Yep. You're just happy to be there.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm still in that place of trying to fill the silence. Mm-hmm. I got to grow. I got to grow some more.
Yeah. So speaking of,
let's have silence.
Yeah, there we go. We're going to have silence now on Catholic weekend. Meditative silence.
This is not the show I want to be responsible for. I think in broadcasting they call that dead air.
Exactly. Well, we could get Father Daryl to put his crickets on loop. You know, that would be nice and soothing.
Are those your crickets, Stephanie? Did you get the sound box too? Oh, man. The soundboard.
No.
No, not at all.
So speaking of Pope Francis, some exciting news here a couple of days ago for those from California. They're about to have another saint from California.
Yes.
I don't know if anybody else saw this, but yes. Blessed Junipero Serra is about to be canonized. So I'm hopefully most people watching know about him, but he was a Franciscan priest from Spain. And he came over to what is now California, northern Mexico, and now California, and established a lot of the major missions, or did a lot of the work in the major missions along the California coast. You know, of course, cities now that are they're major cities, but at the time they were little, basically way stops, if you will, kind of along the coast. And he did a lot of work with the Native Americans there. Did a lot of work to be a missionary in that area. And it says that he founded the first 9 of the 21 missions in California. And he's known to this day actually for his work for evangelization, for missionary work, things like that. He's also kind of a patron, if you will, of vocations. There's the Saran, what did you call them? The Sarans, I guess, that they promote vocations kind of in his name. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of exciting news for Californians that we'll have another saint.
Let me tell you, I learned of him a few years ago because my daughter was stationed in Monterey at the Language Institute that the military has out there. And we went out for one of her graduations. And she says, Mom, I'm just gonna take you up the coast and we're gonna just do a little pilgrimage. And we started in Monterey, and I think we went north, mm-hmm. and went to all the little churches along the way. Oh my gosh, it was absolutely beautiful, but it was so neat to know that was the route that he had taken.
Yep.
In this evangelization, in this establishment of these missions, so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Man, if you've never been to Carmel, you need to go.
Yeah, I'd like to go. I'd like to go down the California coast. I've been down the Oregon coast, but not the California coast.
Oh, so beautiful.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. So I stopped in one of the churches. I stopped, and gosh, I took so many pictures. But I have a little holy card.
Oh, very nice.
With him on it, that's blessed. So it's really gorgeous.
Cool. Yeah.
Nice. Does this mean that the Pope is making the trip out west?
No, he's going to do it as part of his World Day for Families trip to Philadelphia. Yeah. So it's going to be here in the United States, but it's going to be on the other coast, ironically.
Okay. On the right coast?
Wrong coast. No,
the wrong coast.
Yeah, well, you got a couple of Westerners and a Midwesterner here, so today.
Probably might want to head over to Disneyland or something. And.
Well, he didn't establish that? No, I'm kidding.
Disneyland? Well, he's going for the Star Wars. Yeah.
The Pope and Star Tours, that would be an epic. Yeah. Gosh, no. He had to wear a rain poncho today in the Philippines.
Yeah, I saw that. Bright yellow.
A bit of sad news with that mass, though. At the end of that mass, I guess some of the scaffolding collapsed and killed somebody. So.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was a young person. Well, not at any ages, but it was a young person. I think 27, a young woman.
Oh, no. That's
was kind of, yeah, it's pretty tragic.
I then.
What a bummer.
Exactly.
So, rain in the Philippines. Who would imagine that?
Yeah, no kidding.
Have you guys been to a big event like that, a big papal event? Pick a pope, any pope.
Yep. When Pope Benedict was in New York, that was my deacon year, so that was 7 years ago. You know, he came to D.C. and New York. And as part of his trip, he had a big seminarian and youth event at the seminary there in New York City at Dunwoody Seminary. And I had the opportunity with a bunch of the seminarians there that I was at in Mundelein. We took buses to New York, and we were maybe at closest about 100 feet.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah, so it was just right there. It was really nice. That was a lot of fun. A lot of seminarians, a lot of youth. I mean, it was just this huge gathering out on their soccer field area and everything. It was incredible. It was fantastic experience to get to see them that closely.
That's pretty cool. What are you guys planning to go to the to Philadelphia in September?
No, I'm not. My focus is World Youth Day in a year and a half.
Are you going? Are you?
Yeah.
You know, my daughter's going too.
Nice.
My middle daughter is going with the youth of her parish.
Yeah. Yeah, we're raising money for it right now, and we're really looking forward to it. Year and a half, and then nice thing, our diocese is doing it as part of a tour. So we're going to land actually in Munich, Germany.
Sweet.
Go through the Czech Republic, and then end up in Poland.
Huh.
So that's going to be a lot of fun, especially since I'm half Czech, so I get to back to the homeland.
Oh, there. You can check that off of your
get them crash
your bucket list.
There we go. Wow. There you go. The drop of the button.
I was in Toronto when now St. John Paul II was there for World Youth Day. That was exciting. Our group got pretty close at one point, but, I mean, you know, close in a group of 400,000 people is kind of a relative term.
Well, I mean, it was an intimate gathering of the world youth.
Of a lot of people,
The other thing that World Youth Day did, it was a great experience and everything. I had actually never been to Toronto before, so it was a great experience, but I'm quite content now to watch an event of that size from my couch. I have no problem doing that.
So you wouldn't have been camping out on a beach?
Well, we camped out on a runway. Oh, boy. Actually, it poured rain, too, during that final papal mass. And so we lucked out because we were on a high part of the runway, but just down the runway from us, there were a group of pilgrims that were on a low part
that
ended up filling the water. And then everyone on the grass, well, that turned into mud pretty quickly. So,
oh boy,
we actually lucked out. But now I'm quite content to load up EWTN or Salt and Light and watch it from from my couch. Comfort
from the couch when you got the fridge right there and facilities.
Yeah,
and
yeah. Boy, they look wet. Must be terrible.
Yeah,
I got old real quick.
Yeah, it's. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, I know it's gonna be big events like that, but I'm looking forward to it. It'll be kind of one of those once in a lifetime type of things to at least be able to try. Say I've been there, done that. Won't have to do it again.
I think that I'll just go to Rome and just do a papal audience thing.
Yeah.
Hey, some people look out on those things, especially. You know, if you can get a good seat.
Yeah.
Because doesn't the Pope go up and down the, don't they set it up on a grid so that he can go around and everybody can get a close-up?
Yep.
And by close-up, I mean, how close is that, really?
Within 100 feet or so, yeah.
Yeah, depends how early you want to arrive and how many people you want to fight through. Yeah.
Well, you don't want to elbow too many nuns. Although I hear
that they're
pretty good about throwing them back.
Give and take, I guess. Stephanie, have you ever been to any sort of papal event?
No, I've not.
No.
You have to get over to Philadelphia. No.
That's right. Well, gosh.
It really is. It is fun to do. It is very interesting to get to see them and, you know, see these men that they really are the leader of our church, you know. They really are kind of our guidepost. And it's very interesting to get to see them in person, get to hear them in person, know that they're speaking to you personally, as a group, of course, but personally.
Yeah.
Like I said, the EWTN broadcast is really close and you can see them right up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And depending on where you are, that might be your best view to look at the Jumbotron.
That might be your best
view. Yeah, exactly.
Well, you still get the Jumbotron anyway.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We just ran through the show without one break. So I think
good thing we're a little more informal today, right?
Very informal. Why don't we move into Picks of the Week? And I have half a mind to just crank call Pat and tell her to do it live, but we'll just whisper the picks of the week. The picks of the week. you guys ready to roll on that one?
I'll go ahead and I can go ahead and do mine first.
All right.
I've actually got two. The first one is one I want to remind people. It was my pick last week, but I want to remind people because it starts today, is the 9 Days for Life, 9daysforlife.com, number 9daysforlife.com. It's a project of the USCCB, U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, and it's a novena for life, novena for the end of abortion, respect of all life, not just abortion either, not just from, you know, contraception to birth, but from contraception to natural death. So they've got a beautiful app for both Android and iOS, iPhone, iPad, so on. You can get, if you don't want to use an app, you can get texts every day, you can get email alerts every day, or you can just print out the novena and do it that way if you don't want to have your electronic device with you when you're sitting in church. Though I've known more and more people that are doing that too, you know, your Kindles or what have you. So I mentioned that again, that starts today. You can set up where it'll give you an alert at every, you know, let's say at 9 o'clock in the morning, you'll get an alert or whatever time you want. So that's my first pick. I just wanted to remind that one because I do think it is so important. And then the second one is an article that I'm shamelessly stealing from Lynn because she told me I could. She actually put it in the show notes. Father Corey, steal this one. And it's by a Father Mike Schmitz. He's a college chaplain, I think, as I recall, in Minnesota. And it's called Inside the Confessional. What is it like for a priest? And it's very true. It talking about what it's like for us as a priest, and I'm sure Father Daryl will echo this, that how joyful and humbling it is for us to be able to hear these confessions, because we know it's not just people coming here and telling us their dirty laundry. It's people unburdening their souls from their sins and desiring to return to God. Desiring that conversion of heart. You know, I always come up with that line from scriptures, create a clean heart in me, O God, and renew in me a steadfast spirit. That's what confession is about. And he talks about how It is that unburdening, how it's a saint in the making, that by going to confession, we say that we want to be saints and we desire to become that. And yes, we've got a long way to go, and yes, we've got our sins to overcome, but we're trying to be that saint. And then I love the question here. He says is, do I remember your sins? No. And again, I think Father Darrell can probably, he might have better memory than I do, but I don't remember anybody's sins. Yeah, he's shaking his head. No, and I'm the same way, you know. sin is boring. Sin is boring. We all commit the same things. You think you're unique in your sins? Nah, not really. Not really. We all have the same sins. Some are more serious than others, but you know what? Sin is boring, but God's grace is exciting. And that's what's important. So that's my main pick is inside the confessional, what it's like for us as priests.
That's great. You know, I'd really love to just do a show on this sometime. Anyway, moving on. Thank you for that great pick.
Yeah, we can do that sometime.
It'll be cool. Father, let's see, I'm going left to right on my screen. Father Darrell, what's your pick?
Well, I was going to pick the Pope's homily or his speech to the family. So I don't know if I'm allowed to pick it, even though we already talked about it.
Yes, you can. Yes.
All right, then that's my pick of the week. It's just really good, so do check it out.
Excellent.
It's a news.va, but I'm sure it'll be in the show notes. Probably twice.
Google that picture of St. Joseph. It's really pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I love how he writes his prayer intention down and puts it under the statue of St. Joseph so St. Joseph can sleep on it.
Sweet. All right, Stephanie, what's yours?
Well, if I could piggyback a little bit on Father Corey's first pick, this week, of course, is Thursday, is the day that we remember that the Roe versus Wade decision was made. So, at least in my archdiocese, I don't know if this is nationwide, but we have a Holy Hour for Life that's going to be on Friday during our regular Holy Hour. So my pick would be, find out if you have something like that in your area, or if you don't, just take some time for Holy Hour, for praying for the unborn and for families.
Wonderful.
Excellent, yeah.
That's excellent. Well, and so I guess I get the last word, and mine is the lamest and not Catholic at all.
All the more fun.
So I am a fan of J.J. Abrams' work. Mm-hmm. And I was given by my daughter for Christmas this book, and it comes in a case like this that's wrapped like this, and it's a book concept that was created by J.J. Abrams, and it was written by Doug Dorst, and it's the coolest thing ever because I'm an academic, and so this is something that I have totally just bought into. This book looks like an old book, mm-hmm. you know, like the kind that you would see in your elementary school library. And it even has on the side a Dewey Decimal number. And the pages look like the book was published in the 1920s. It looks just like the kind of, you know, stuff that was in my elementary school library. And it's a stolen library book.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And the concept is really interesting. There's a conversation, and especially if you've been in graduate school, but even as an undergrad, you would probably experience this. This book is somebody's thesis primary resource.
Oh, funny.
And so there's an actual book, there's an actual novel that's been written, okay? And you can see that I'm opening up and there's things inside of the pages.
Oh, that's cool.
The whole book concept is that there's a book that you have to read. So you have to read Ship of Theseus, okay? But then there's a secondary storyline that's going on here. There's a relationship that's developing between a graduate student and an undergraduate student.
Oh, that's funny.
The graduate student leaves the book in the library. And the undergrad picks it up and sees that in the front it says, you know, if you find this book, please return it too. And so she returns it to this guy with a comment. So you want me to return a book that you stole from a high school? And so there's this, and that's how that adventure begins. So you actually have to read the Book of Theseus, which is an imaginary book that this guy that worked with Abrams, Doug Dorst, created, because it's not a real book. Well, it is a real book now, but anyway.
Yeah.
So what you're doing is you're reading, the story is taking place in Marginalia. And so
they have
different handwritings so that you can tell who the characters are that are speaking to each other. And they help each other out by putting things in the margins, but not just in the margins. Like there's a photocopy of some research that one of them went and did for the other. There's a card that they left for each other. So they leave gifts for each other in the pages. And so you're reading the book. So it's really a crazy way to read, because I'm reading. And then I realize that in the margin, they've gone back to reread the book. And so they're expanding their original comments to each other.
And
it's just so clever. Gosh, I love people that are that creative. So it's, I don't know what it's called. It's called, I guess, The Ship of Theseus. But it's a J.J. Abrams production.
Very cool idea.
Yeah, I love it. So now, let's just go back again.
I wonder if there's any extra lens flare in that book, or
no lens flare.
Shaky cam effect.
Yeah, but it doesn't drive you nuts that the book was written in? You know, that a library book was written in.
Oh, the best relationship is with a book. I write in my books all the time.
Well, but a library book, though, a book that's not yours.
Oh, okay.
No, it's funny, but that's always been kind of an annoyance. There was a seminarians that would write in the library books there at seminary. It's like, what are you doing? Fine, you write in your book, but this isn't your book. Why are you writing in it?
Oh, my gosh. A few years ago, I responded to, I was working with a friend of mine who lent me her book to comment on. Mm-hmm. And it was all scribbled with all of her comments in the margins, and I couldn't bring myself to deface her book, even though she had torn it up.
Yeah.
I filled it with sticky notes with my comments so she could remove them. So she ended up with this. I think I ended up breaking the spine on the book from all the stuff I stuffed into it.
That's funny.
All right, so how can we reach you, Father? Let's go. Father Corey.
Well, you can find my webpage where I post my homilies at frcorey, that's frcory.org. And I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that kind of fun stuff at frcoreystica, last name spelled STICHA.
Very good. Excellent. How about you, Father Darrell?
Head over to saskapriest.com, and over there you can find my links to Twitter and Facebook and the Sports Fathers, and if you're really bored, my parish website. saskapriest.com.
Sweet. How about you, Stephanie?
Twitter and Facebook. Twitter is Angel Steph, ANGELSTPH, and podcast website is TV Rewind Podcast.com. Also on Secrets of Doctor Who, and we recorded this week without Father Corey.
Yeah, I couldn't be there. It was disappointing. I couldn't be there for it.
Oh, sadness. All right. And you can catch me on Twitter at Bego, BEGO. And check out my pictures this week on Serenity, not the TV show. Or not the movie, rather. and another cup of coffee, begojohnson.com. And so thanks for bearing with us this week. It truly was a very sad train wreck.
But, we didn't always, use the sound.
It's always a pleasure to be together with friends. That's the best part.
Yeah. So,
thanks for listening, and have a good Catholic weekend. God bless.
Bye all, and God bless.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.